Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by 360 Fly. For 15% off any purchase from 360fly.com, enter the code PLANET. That offer is valid until the 27th of April. And you can check out the 360 Fly video of the Planet broadcasting launch at Mr. Sunday Movies' YouTube channel. It's very cool.
Yeah, the 360 Fly cameras are sick. They're like, what do they film? Well, it's all there in the title. They're shaped like a giant fly.
Yes.
And they film in complete 360.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really cool.
They like if an owl was a cameraman.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And if people get to the website and then they're like, oh, what was that password again?
Yeah.
Good news, all you have to do is think to yourself, what am I on right now?
Yeah. PCP.
You put in Earth, that's not going to work.
Nah.
Then you're like, you got to take a step back and you're like, oh, I'm on a planet. And then boom, you're getting yourself a sweet discount.
Yeah.
Don't look at me like that.
I just was wondering how much longer that was going to take.
Now that's spelled P. L.
We should also mention up the top of the episode, the comedy festival is in full swing at the moment. We all have shows that we're doing. My show, Tommy Daslow, Dinner for Two, which is a stand-up show, is on 9:30 p.m., 5:45 on Sundays at the European Beer Cafe. It's on every night now until the end of the comedy festival. Would love to see some of the filth down there. You guys together are in a group called Chimp Cop, which I saw the other night, and it's awesome.
Thank you, Tommy.
9:45 at Trades Hall.
Yes, we've already had some filth come down, which has been very nice. Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
And then Adam Knox, you've got your own stand-up show. It's Adam and Eve, not Adam Knox. At what time's that?
It's
7?
It's 7:15.
7:15 at the Imperial Hotel.
Just a bit of casual stand-up, baby.
Tickets to all of these shows at comedyfestival.com.au. Also on Saturday, April the 22nd at 4 p.m, we are doing the first ever live version of whatever the fuck this is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have some guests come down. And yeah, if you're one of these people thinking, I'll just listen to it on the regular podcast feed the next week, we actually don't know if we're going to end up putting it up. Because we're planning for it to be quite visual. We're going to have a screen there. We're going to have some sort of gaming on a screen element.
Yes.
I think maybe we'll be able to.
That's the most innovative thing in the world. We're going to have a screen.
it's the original ads for the Nintendo 64. 360 degree motion with the Control 6.
With just the one camera.
That's going to be really fun. And we're trying to make it not just us on stage talking. We're really putting a bit of extra stuff in. So tickets for that are at tinyurl.com/filthycasualslive. Come down.
Yeah.
Be there.
Enjoy this episode of a podcast. Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Daslow. This man next to me on his phone, it's Adam Knox.
That's me, baby. I love to be connected.
Is that written on your phone? Is that what you're reading off?
Yeah, that's just the text I got from connection.com.
Oh.
And also joining us back in the formal shorts, it's Ben Fennell.
I was tempted to have a go at Knox, but I am very, very hungover today tired.
So
that's not my problem. I'm looking at news that we can talk about. Like, I'm doing my job over here.
I shouldn't have even said anything. And that's how disconnected I am.
And what better time to start scanning the news sites than 1 minute after we hit the record button? We're doing this, as we mentioned last week, kind of this is sort of the only time we can all get together during the comedy festival because we're all busy doing our shows. Last week I came in here and I accused you guys of, I thought, you know, Saturday morning, these guys have done a show Friday night. They're these wild artist types that I've heard so much about. They'll have been hitting the grog all night.
Yep.
Now, I accused you guys of being drunk and hungover,
yep.
You seemed a little offended that I had just assumed that just because it was a Friday night that you would have been out getting blind.
Yep.
Now, fast forward 1 week.
I'm actually fine. I'm genuinely just tired.
You said to me right before we started, I have to go to sleep after this or I'm going to die.
Yeah, that's what you do when you're tired. You go to sleep.
That does check out. That checks out. Yeah. Yeah.
But Ben, on the other hand, we may have to pause for you to go have a spew.
Yeah, I just had too many beers. I just like
that's great.
Yeah.
I wish that it's like when you're talking to someone about being hungover the next day and you just run out and you're like, I wish there was more I could tell you. I wish I had more of a reason and more facts. But the pure, simple truth of it is I just sat in the one spot for 5 hours and I kept ordering drinks and I didn't stop and now I feel fucked.
Yeah.
What do we got for the listeners this week?
Oh,
Not a great deal, I imagine.
No, heaps of things, actually. So many things.
So stuff has been happening. We didn't get too screwed over by recording so far in advance last week.
Yep.
Maybe this is the week that our luck's run out.
Yeah.
And we'll be up shit creek.
Well, there's been a bit of news stuff that's happened during the week that I believe is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you got for us?
It's time for Mr. News's News Corner.
Not even Mr. Knox.
Good evening. I'm Mr. News.
Hello, Mr. News.
That's how you know that I know the news. It's my name.
How many people with the last name News do you think have gone for jobs at like newspapers or like TV news channels? And you know, you'd have to think if you didn't get the job, you'd be a little shitty.
Yeah. I'd imagine there are zero people with the last name News though, right?
Zero people with the last name News.
Lewis, who was his friend?
Yeah, Mr. News.
I mean, maybe there's like a N-I-E-U-Z-E News.
Yeah, but I'm not going to feel bad about not hiring someone named News like that as a journalist.
Do you think you'd be sitting in the interview and you'd go through all your credentials? Let's say you're really qualified for the job.
Yeah.
You go through all your credentials and then you get to the end and you're like, and also, I mean, look, not to address the elephant in the room, but, you know, come on, get a look at that name up the top there.
My name is Gregory News.
Pretty good, right? Pretty good, right?
Yeah, but like, you're applying for a job at a call centre, mate.
I know, but like...
Come on, Gregory.
Look at that. I got news for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pulling in all my projected targets at this call centre. That could be me in a month. Give me the job.
I'm afraid that you're going to tell people the news a lot over the phone, and that's not what we want you to do.
You know that rule that like whatever your last name is, you just do that all the time?
Well, that is what it was. That's where last names came from, apparently.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
The most well-known historical fact.
That's why you've got such a sweet pair of knockers. Knoxes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My last name is Tits. That's my real last name.
Tits.
Project Scorpio.
Ah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That supervillain plan.
Yes.
That exists. There was a bunch of stuff like... So Microsoft went straight to Eurogamer, who do that Digital Foundry thing, who are always comparing frame rates and figuring out technical things.
Yep.
And they gave them like this really, really in-depth technical like breakdown of what the Scorpio thing, which is, if anyone doesn't know, it's like the next Xbox. It's the equivalent of the PS4 Pro.
But isn't it apparently it's more powerful than the PS4 Pro?
Yeah, it's more powerful. I'm looking at a bunch of numbers that I do not comprehend here. Mm, it's 69. Just one large number 6. Don't understand what it means. It seems like it's more powerful. It's gonna... So I watched a video about it, and let me see if I can like... If I did understand this enough that I can repeat it back to you. It isn't running Xbox One games in the same way that an Xbox One does.
Mm.
Each one has to be sort of dealt with on an individual level to make it work on a Scorpio, but they are doing that work.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense? Like not emulating.
Yeah.
Just a little bits of changes to get it to work better.
So it's sort of... Not backwards compatible.
It is. It will be able to play all of them.
Right.
But they're just having to do the work to make that happen.
Right.
Okay.
That sounds. That sounds weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. It like the effect of it won't be anything. Like this is only really something you'd have to worry about if you were working for Microsoft.
But this seemed. I don't know. Did we get into this recently? This seems like this is gonna not be a good thing. I don't know. It seems like it's kind of going to be a bit of a...
Scorpio in general.
Well, because
I don't know.
The Xbox like market share is really low, right?
Yeah.
It's relatively low compared to the PlayStation, but it's like 23% or something like that. Like it's not low.
Right, okay, yeah. It just seems like coming in late with this is not a good move, even if it is more powerful?
I don't know. It could be like, it depends what it is. Like, they've said all the technical stuff, but it's, I get the impression that they are intending to go a little bit further than that.
Right.
If that makes sense, and try and make it like this whole kind of new, like much more than the PS4 Pro was, like really trying to push the idea that it's a new thing.
But I just think, I you know, it's looked this way for a little while, but yeah, Microsoft are in trouble in terms of like they don't have anything exclusive that's that, you know, tantalizing to an audience, like to really draw people to it. Like the PlayStation has really good exclusives now. Like they've got, you know, they've got good guys in their corner.
Yeah.
Nintendo, of course, have all their IPs. But like, so if you're making the choice out of those two, but Xbox, like, you know, what do they, you know, what do they really have? Third party stuff comes to it, but they still, to me, they don't have a big kind of like exclusive franchise that anyone gives a fuck about.
Yeah. So then it depends if they can make the case well enough for this being the best thing to play all those other games on.
And
then it'll depend on the price. And it seems like more people than I expected to seem to give a shit about the PS4 Pro.
Yeah.
Because like you need a 4K TV and all that sort of bullshit to
But the other thing is, if you're that much of a performance junkie, like surely you're just a PC guy, because you can upgrade that, and that you can really max out as hard as you want.
Yeah.
Once you get a console, like it's done. Like I don't think console gamers. I think they want it to look really good, but I don't think they give it enough of a fuck that's worth Microsoft kind of really rolling the dice on this one. Because then within 6 months there'll be a new PC card thing that just makes it better than the Scorpio anyway.
Totally, and that's the other tack that Microsoft's been taking at the same time, is saying, okay, well, you can play Gears of War on the PC, you can play Forza on the PC.
So they also, so I read a little bit about the potential VR thing with Scorpio, and on the back of that, the Universal Windows platform thing, where it's like this kind of, this new like overall operating system suite of software that like the Xbox will run on, the VR of Scorpio will run on, future Windows will be that, and it's kind of, I think a lot of people are kind of put off by it because it's very insular, and it kind of takes over everything, it takes over all your software, and like I think that is it's like another weird move where they're like, oh, if you like buy an Xbox at, you know, from 6 months from now onwards, or want to do the VR or whatever, you have to buy in fully into this software system, everything's encapsulated by it.
Right.
Which is a little off-putting, I think.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know, like... Got a large
Nox just crossed his leg over and had a plastic bag stuck to his foot. And it was one of the most joyous things I've seen in a long time.
There's some proof. I don't know how that sounds.
Sounds great.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Good.
Sounds like a fire.
Any Foley artists out there, save that one onto the hard drive. You're good to go.
If you punch a watermelon, it sounds like you're punching a person.
Really?
Apparently. Yeah. Oh,
interesting.
Okay.
That's what they do, the Foley artists. And if you rattle a chain.
Yeah.
That's a ghost.
What if you punch one out in a watermelon bed? What does that sound like?
Say, yeah.
You got to keep it real quiet. Don't let anybody know.
So, by the way, someone messaged us wanting to know what color the walls in your apartment are.
Oh, yeah.
Like the same color as these, like beigey white.
Wall color.
You can't just go the same color as these.
Yeah.
Well, no, but like white, but a little less white.
Rental apartment beige.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think that they're red, man? Yeah, I look
that's what they thought.
Bad.
That's what the listener thought. They thought that your walls were red.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way,
there's little patches of red every.
Oh God.
We need to do a big, I guess, correction / apology based on something we talked about last week.
Oh God.
Now, social media has lit up with people who, much like a common Bigfoot sighting, claim to have been inside a Target that has a cafe in it.
Yeah.
Of course they have. It would have been the dumbest, most boring lie to make up in the world. And I don't understand why for a second you were annoyed about
that. I don't think you were deliberately lying. Yeah, me neither. I think you maybe dreamt it and thought it was real life. I didn't think you were trying to deceive us. But make no mistake, I did think you were wrong.
and that is absolutely fucking ridiculous.
But so, yeah, apparently every Target in the States has a cafe in it.
And most of them here don't, but they tried it out here and people went, and people fucking backwards people like you who can't progress and let the world grow around them and adapt to it. They said, no, we do not want to get a coffee from Target because I have laneway culture.
That is right. I actually used to like when Borders, the bookstore Borders that used to exist, had cafes
in
them.
No, it didn't. There's never been a bookstore. Oh. Blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know what?
Look, we have to cop this. This is only fair.
Yeah. But then a listener also sent us an article, I think on Twitter, that there's more cafes opening in Target. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's one near where I used to live as well.
So. You fucking idiots.
Yeah.
You pieces of shit. I quit.
I'm happy to wear this.
Yeah. I'm happy to wear this Target t-shirt.
Where's that plastic bag? It's replacing me. I can't find it.
So that's interesting. The Scorpio. Yeah. I don't know. So that's out at the end of the year, right? Like that's going to be an interesting.
That's the idea. I really don't know what their pitch for it's going to be because like so far all I've heard about it is like, yeah, fucking specs.
Yeah.
Look at these. Look at this RAM. And I just couldn't give a shit.
And it kind of, I don't know, it needs to launch with something that takes. The PS4 Pro, I feel like maybe the first thing was Horizon Zero Dawn.
And VR was very much tied into the PS4 Pro.
Okay, right.
So that was like, get the Pro, it runs VR better. And that kind of worked, I think. Yeah. Like, you know, some people, you know. It got some take up, but yeah, like what's the Scorpio's selling point?
It's like Xbox One games, a lot of them will run a little better, and 360 games even will run better on it. But it's like it's real hard to sell a console today with fucking like Mad Max.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
Yeah,
totally.
FIFA. I guess it's for people who already are like fully bought into Xbox.
Yeah, which like Xboxes are fine. They get a bum rap because
they're just the other one.
Yeah. The PS4 definitely does have more exclusives, and I'm looking forward to jumping into the old PlayStation universe.
Mm. Oh, mate,
hey.
Get that PlayStation All Stars Royal Rumble game that came out where you can play the fucking sack from Little Big Planet versus Nathan Drake versus Parappa the Rapper.
Yes.
Versus
BioShock Man was in there for some reason.
Yep.
So speaking of targets, you were telling us that you nearly went in on a certain gaming device.
Oh yeah, I think this might have been Big W or something, but some shop had.
Was it? Are you sure? A Big W selling Switches?
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
For like about a hot hour, there was a sale where Switches were like $385 or something, and I.
Which for in Australia, like in Australia, they're usually
like $500.
It's like it's
it was
a lot.
$460 day one, I think.
$470 maybe.
I think mine was $500.
Really?
But, yeah.
Right.
And I had to suck off a guy under a bridge. I can't believe you said that, Ben.
No.
Now, did he have a cup of coffee that he could offer to you at the end? So yeah, now that's a huge drop.
It's extremely
and
cheap.
I don't get why they've done that because
it would have been
demand is still hot. Like most stores are still sold out of them. If you put them on the shelf at full price, people are gonna buy them.
Yeah.
People want them.
Yeah.
Must have been some stock clearance thing for a while. The conspiracy theorist in me thinks that maybe we didn't land on the moon. That maybe there's like a revision to the hardware coming that they know about.
Right.
And they want to get rid of the old ones or something like that. Like a Mario Kart bundle even, or just a Splatoon bundle, and they wanted to get the straight ones out the door.
Yeah, maybe.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Because they've gotten a lot of, I mean, that dock needs to be redone. That's people have had a lot of problems with that.
Scratching the screen.
Yeah, it's just a very flimsy piece of plastic as well. Like,
well, I saw a video of someone opening one of them. It's just like a tiny little piece of nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, there's nothing. There's like a fan in it, I think.
I don't. Yeah, maybe a very small one.
And that's it.
But
well, that's apparently why it's upscaled on the TV is because it's got
an
extra fan.
Did you see that thing
right.
of switches bending?
No.
Did
you see that? So they're getting hot if they just stay in the dock. The fan isn't good enough.
Fuck. I'm noticing that it is overheating,
They're warping and bending.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, yeah, that, you know, for something that you treat as a portable, I mean, yeah, controllers can get wear and tear and you can kind of cop that, go, oh, well, this Wii remote's gone to shit. I'll just buy another one. Whatever, it's $80.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that I'm so terrified of. I guess the Joy-Cons you can replace. But that screen, the fact that the screen scratches, it's like you can't just replace. That's the whole console is in there.
They are doing repairs on that stuff, though.
Right.
So, and it's like a sort of 2 week turnaround. So
and
you know what? There's nothing to play on it anyway. So you can just maybe throw it in the bin. But
cool. Well, the Scorpio should be cool when it comes out.
But no, that's like I thought about getting one, and it turned out by the time I saw it, they were all sold out anyway.
Fuck.
And I just don't know what I would have bought. Like honestly, because I've played Zelda,
you finished Zelda,
And I've got Mario Kart on the Wii U as well now. Like it's very tough to think of anything until Splatoon that I would want to play on there. Like I'm not really – I don't find snipper clips appealing.
No, me neither. I have not picked it up for a couple of weeks. Like I'm only like halfway through Zelda, which I'm it's great. It's a great game.
But I've been playing more Zelda, and I don't know if people want to hear us talk about it more, but it's still good.
You know what? I'm sick of this. Let's tell people what they want to hear.
Yeah.
I'm sick of being beholden to what someone last week was like, you know, having a go at us for going on about GTA 5.
Yeah.
Like, fuck off, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's say what we really think. These fucking immigrants are coming in.
But just to briefly like wrap that thought of Zelda up.
Yeah.
Like I have stopped playing it. Like I picked up Mass Effect and I have been thrashing that and haven't really had any thought to go back to Zelda.
Really?
Yeah, but that's because you've got something.
I'm the opposite where I've found it difficult to play anything else because every time I do, I just go, oh, actually, I just want to play Zelda.
Yeah, right. Okay, yeah.
But also, that's because you've got something new. Like, something new at the very beginning of it, I think, as you're kind of uncovering what it is always going to be more interesting than something that you're very familiar with.
Yeah, sure.
I definitely think. Yeah.
I guess I believe that Zelda is a game that I will return to many, many times in the
future.
Because
it really did come along at the perfect time for me in terms of working on a comedy festival show, being very busy doing that, not having a ton of time to play it over the last, say, month. But then when I do, I just spending an hour wandering around the whole, it's so calming and it's so like, it's the perfect thing to just slot in an hour of here and there when you're very busy.
Yeah.
And man, I can't believe, not to go on about it too much, but I'm you know, relatively deep into it. I'm amazed that I'm still finding stuff that is wowing me.
Like,
I'll go through a big patch where it's just kind of, just when you kind of think you've seen everything, then you kind of stumble into a bit where you're like, fucking, what is going on here? I found like a unicorn the other day.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, right, a unicorn. Yeah.
Well, wow. I could see like a glowing thing on a mountain and I followed it up and it was like a horse, but it was like shiny and glowing and I could get on it, but it kicked me off.
Yeah, I've run into like a villager who's mentioned it and I haven't found it yet. But
well, there's two. So there's a giant horse out there.
And there's a royal horse, a giant horse.
Yeah, yeah, I found a guy who was like, go find that giant horse. So I found it and it's kind of in a big clearing with a bunch of other scale.
Hey man, get out there, go find that giant horse, baby.
Yeah, and then he whipped his dick out and made me suck it. But yeah, so I found the clearing with the giant horse and you try and get on it.
Yeah.
And the time I was trying it, I clearly don't have enough stamina because I would try and stay on and then it would just kick me straight off. So you're saying there's a royal horse.
There's, a regal horse.
Yeah.
But is that the one that's up in the snow?
Man, I don't know. I haven't gotten into the horses, honestly. Yeah. Like, I don't really care about them.
You kind of don't need them because you can fast travel. I've been trying to use them a bit more. I found a guy who has a bowling thing set up.
Oh, cool.
That's pretty cool. But, yeah, it really is. You feel like you've kind of reached the limits of what there is to discover and there still is always, like, a little more and, even this deep in that you can go in for an hour and uncover something super cool.
Very good.
Oh, man. Yeah.
The other thing I've been...
But it's the only game that I haven't any thought of playing on the Switch. Like, also, I keep checking the eStore. There's nothing I want to play.
Yeah. I would give Shovel Knight a go.
Okay. I mean, I was never interested in playing it even when it first came out.
Well, yeah. I got it on the Wii U a little while ago because there was some new thing coming out for it. I think it's called Spectre.
The third. So there's basically three of them now.
Yeah,
right.
And they're all just contained in the one game, and they're free if you bought the original one. And just on the shop, it said, like, if you buy it today, it's going to be cheaper and you'll get the other thing.
Right.
Tomorrow, the price goes up.
Okay.
So they got me with that.
Yep. You love a sale, you love a bargain.
Oh, man, I love to bargain.
Mate, who doesn't?
Me. I like paying full price.
I'll pay more.
Okay.
it's actually really good. I'm really enjoying it.
So it's just like a classic platformer, right?
Yeah.
Less a platformer and more like Mega Man or something, where it's like more of an action kind of thing.
It's got elements of kind of Castlevania, like DuckTales.
Yeah.
That kind of like jumping on it as a pogo stick.
Yeah, bit of Zelda 2, like looking through the villages and whatever.
Yeah,
right.
But the presentation of it is really cool, and it's very...
Yeah, the graphics are terrible. They look like an NES game.
Yeah, so I got it on the Switch on day one.
Right.
Just because I thought, I want something else to kind of dick around with as well. And yeah, honestly, Zelda's taken up so much time that I've barely played that much. But what I have played, yeah, it's really...
It's great. The music's fantastic. The music's really good.
It's tough from the get-go. It's like challenging from the minute you pick it up. Like
It is very much like, again, like the Mega Man games and that sort of... I think that's the main sort of influence on it, I guess, would be those ones where like... It's these like pretty difficult bosses and all very old fashioned type thing, but it
like
feels
timing
modern.
Based and stuff like patterns and
a little bit, yeah, a few like very tight jumps and that sort of stuff,
yeah, right,
yeah.
But it's all really fun. There's lots of little secrets everywhere, and it controls really well, which is like the most important thing for a game like
and
that.
And the writing is really cool for what it is.
Yeah.
The whole kind of like lore of it and it's the setup of it is really well done.
And it's got that very Nintendo, like it's not Nintendo, but it's got that Nintendo-y thing of like. All these weird characters in the town where like they could have just made a menu for like here's where you upgrade this thing, but it's some little freak who does it for you.
Right.
I would love it if they, because we've talked a lot about the whole kind of retro, you know, pixel art style being a bit overdone.
Yeah.
It happens a lot with like mobile games as well.
Yeah, it's Steam.
But it's
Steam games.
Yeah, whatever. It's kind of become the big thing, and it's become a little unbearable. I mean, this is kind of the one that kicked it off. And this
it was
is
one of them. For
this
sure.
is kind of it done its most effective. But you know what? No one's done yet. I would love to see this. Like you start a franchise like that, where you go, okay, yeah, it's an 8-bit based game, but then you just kind of go through the ages. So then the next one you do is like a SNES one, and then you do a really. When's that going to come back? Shitty, blocky-looking Nintendo 64 style. I think would be really cool.
It's weird. People seem to hate. Those graphics now, like I can go back to them quite easily. But
you
most,
can, really?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but like, I guess I'm just really tolerant and accepting.
But if you stylized it well, because it's like, you know, Shovel Knight is 8-bit style, but it's got a bit more oomph to it. It couldn't have run on a NES,
right.
So I think doing it like clearly, like doing it as a nostalgic throwback and making it look, I think that would be really cool if they had a Shovel Knight that was 16-bit, and then after that they go, okay, now we're gonna have to open him up and put him in 3D in that way that so many franchises of the day had to make the leap, and like I think that would be really cool.
Hmm.
It could be.
Disagree.
Really?
Yeah. I find it impossible to go back to that era, the early PS1, the 64 games.
But I think if making one now, I think it would be an interesting... I just think it would be an interesting experiment for a developer to go, we'll start this off with an 8-bit
and then
we'll gradually work up.
I can picture how 8-bit looks good now. It can be done in a contemporary way but have that feel. But like I can't even imagine just like giant polygons... with shitty textures.
I like how that shit looks.
Yeah.
I actually like how fucked that looks.
Right.
I want it to look like you'd clean up the bits of like the fog and shit is what you'd clean
totally.
Up.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah.
Like in that way that we're saying...
Those warpy fucking PS1 textures, I love that shit.
Yeah. I hate
the
it.
The way that
I
looks is
it.
So grim and like gritty and cool.
But
that
like
shit's
we're saying,
real, man.
You'd finesse it a little more. Like we're saying, Shovel Knight 8-bit it's not one for one 8-bit. It's a little... It's got a little more finesse to it. So I think it would be an interesting challenge for a developer to work out
how you
kind of invoke that while also making it playable and not unbearable. When's Dire for Straits Money for Nothing, the video clip, the game coming out?
Oh, God.
That was a long and confusing sentence.
I was building that one in my mind for about 5 minutes. I was like, I got to make sure I'm on top of this before I say it.
Yeah, yeah. Do the old lawnmower man.
Yeah.
Well, okay, maybe this is a perfect point to jump into something that's kind of come out this week, the review embargo for Yooka-Laylee.
Oh, yeah.
Was lifted. You know, we're talking, I mean, this is clear. This is kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, I guess it is.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Not so much graphically like that. This is, you know, Yooka-Laylee's been, so Yooka-Laylee, Kickstarter game.
Yep.
A whole bunch of ex-Rare staff members.
Is it Playtronic?
Playtonic.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing a modern interpretation of a Banjo-Kazooie game. It's all the people that kind of worked on those games.
Well, and by what the reviews and stuff are saying, maybe not that modern.
Well, yeah. So modern in terms of like graphical.
So we haven't gotten a review copy.
This game
will be out by the time this episode comes out.
Right.
Yeah, the 11th. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
yeah.
It will have just come out.
People will have formed their own opinions, but I am super stoked to play that still, even despite all the reviews saying like, it's just like one of these old Banjo-Kazooie games. I love that shit and I can go back to it easily. Like,
I'm really interested, but I do find it weird where some reviewers are saying, I was ready for it to be that. That's all I wanted it to be. And I'm still disappointed by it.
Yeah,
I'm really interested to see.
People don't know what they want. People don't like people. Sure, go, yeah, I'm ready for that, but you're not ready. That's not what you're looking for. You're looking to feel like you felt 20 years ago when you didn't have any worries.
But people are also writing that as well. They are admitting like it. You can't replicate that feeling.
Yeah.
So
some people, but I
they're
think
still disappointed.
Of the reviews I've read a pretty. There's a pretty decent spectrum of them out there. Some people just really like it.
Yeah.
Some people hate it. Some people are like, I'm aware. Like, it's not what I thought I wanted. Some people are like,
I'm a werewolf. Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's
I don't
a
know.
Good idea for like a hoodie slogan.
I'm a werewolf.
Yeah.
A hoodie slogan.
Yeah, like your other podcast.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll start talking about werewolves on my other podcast.
Nice. Slowly slip
backwards.
In.
That's something we should do. We should just like come up with an idea for a t-shirt and then build the catchphrase around that. Drop pants would be a good t-shirt.
Were you fucking talking about Rip Torn on your other podcast?
Yeah.
I don't know if this
it came
is something.
Up. It yeah, came right. up on my other podcast, and so I put
you
it
know,
to...
I genuinely don't remember again if he's alive or dead.
Yeah.
He's still alive.
He's still alive?
Still alive, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But I brought it up on that one to Carl, who I do the show with. He didn't know. He had to think about it.
Yeah.
And then I put... And again, people from that podcast writing in and going, yeah, I thought he was dead too.
I remember because I saw that show up on Twitter and I like clicked on it and someone was going, who the fuck is Rip Torn?
Yeah.
And it took me back to watching Men in Black for the first time and seeing Rip Torn show up down the bottom like, oh, who's that?
Yeah. And what an intriguing name.
Rip Torn is now part of the Tommy Dasilo shared podcast universe.
I'm pretty sure that I thought Rip Torn was the alien. I thought that they'd made up a name for the alien.
Oh, right. Yeah, I certainly didn't think it was the old guy.
Yeah.
Like in The Simpsons when like the Halloween episodes, all the
executives
have like spooky names.
Matt, Ghost.
Graining.
Bat Graining.
Bat Graining, it always was. James Hell Brooks.
Yep.
Yeah. Sam Spooky Simon or whatever it was.
Hank Ascaria.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested to play it.
Yeah.
I do think, like, it's very transparent in the title. Like,
yeah,
it's trying to just be Banjo. Because when they brought out the rap, I was like, I don't know, this is maybe pushing it a little too far for me.
I thought that fucking sucked.
Yeah.
That was really annoying. Like, the rap, the DK rap is bad.
Yeah.
But it's old, so it gets away with it.
Yeah.
It's a little bit, but it's a little bit like, you know how... There was an interview with Seinfeld recently where he was like, oh, yeah, maybe we will do a B-movie too because people on the internet are into it, not knowing that people are kind of shitting on it and being ironic.
Yeah.
That's kind of what this feels like. Like, they're like, oh, people talk about the DK rap online. It's like, yeah, because it's an example of something that's very bad from a long time ago.
Yeah.
I am
still really keen to play it. I'd like, especially on the Switch. I want to.
Yeah, me too.
I want to play it.
I was kind of thinking I'd hold out in order to have something extra to do on the Switch, but there's still no. I mean, if they're not going to give up any kind of date, like for the purposes of talking about it on the show, I'm probably just going to have to get it on the PS4.
Yeah, I'm just going to get it on the Xbox.
Yeah,
which
right.
is a shame. I mean, I don't know what the story is there, but it's a bummer because it could have. It's a show. I mean, I was really thinking if it was great, if people loved it, like it would have been something if it had come out at the same time that kind of could have given the Switch that kind of second kind
Absolutely.
Of push over the line of like, especially that's so in the wheelhouse of like a Nintendo audience.
I thought up until very recently that it was just launching on the Switch the same day. And
no,
I was like, oh, yeah.
It's not.
I kind of like, this is maybe a little convoluted, but the fact that Rare moved over to Microsoft and were making Xbox games makes me want to play it on the Xbox.
Okay. Yeah.
That's stupid. It shouldn't
matter. Well, it's harking back to, you know, the glory days of the Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
For me, it just feels weird to play it on any. It feels weird thinking about playing it on a PlayStation controller.
Sure. Yeah.
So I've got, I've similarly, but I'm kind of tied up in a different
era. You're in a
where
different
it's like,
part.
Yeah. But but yeah, anyway, looking forward to hopefully we can all go in on that this week coming up.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of recent things, we should talk about Persona 5.
Yeah.
Has just come out.
Yeah.
Now, when I was in Japan last year, this was – it must have just come out. I was looking this up.
It came out September 5th.
Yeah. So it had just come out and it was everywhere. And there's like an anime of it as well.
Is there?
I don't think there is. I think it is just
– cutscenes and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, every big electronic store I walked past had – big display at the front, big TV, and I couldn't quite work out what it was other than a video game, but I loved the style of it and I was like, oh, I wonder what this is. I kind of was tempted to just get it and try and go through it in Japanese and just fucking see what happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was very appealing to me. Just the whole style of it looked really cool. And so now it's out here, I actually know what it is.
Yeah.
So what, like dating sim / turn-based RPG.
It's less date. Well, Ben's played it, but I you go.
You're a high school student that has strange powers.
Kind of.
It's Japanese Buffy.
Yeah, sounds like a fucking episode of Round the Twist, if you ask me. Oh no, my head's turned into a dunny.
This is another one of those Australian TV shows. I don't know if we've talked about Round the Twist before on this.
Yeah.
But like immediately doing a noise from it in the context of knowing some people listen in America going, oh, this is another fucking stupid thing we have.
Yeah. No, but in my experience again with my other podcast, the Yanks love that. The Yanks love hearing you talk about something that they don't know what it is.
Look the fuck up Round the Twist. That is the most Australian.
It's definitely on YouTube, I think, as well.
Would it hold up? I think it'd hold up.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
I think, well, maybe.
I reckon the books probably hold up better.
Yes, exactly. So,
if you've got. Okay, here's a tip. If you're an American listener and you have young-ish children, maybe like around 12 or so.
Yeah.
Look up the books of Paul Jennings, who's an Australian
author.
Slightly
younger, like nine.
Yeah.
Nine and a half.
He was huge when we were all kids, and he basically would bring out these books every couple of years that were these little anthologies that were, I guess they were almost like Twilight Zone for kids.
Well, it's a very like short story, like a typical short story form where there's like a little sting in the tail.
Yeah.
One family, they live in a lighthouse and weird shit keeps happening involved.
But also quickly, so Paul Jennings wrote these books that were called like
Unreal,
Unbelievable.
Oh, right, yeah.
So look them up, because then Round the Twist was the show that was based on all those books.
Yeah.
Is that the way round it worked?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, right.
So in the books, they're all just unconnected. They're just like a random kid in each story. But then Round the Twist took all them. And instead of them just being interconnected, like unrelated people, it's all this weird shit just happens to this one family all the time.
Yeah,
they live in a lighthouse, which was a cool way of doing it. But yeah, that's a recommendation for any for any American listeners out there. Those books were so great.
Oh, I love them.
And the same with the show. Didn't talk down to you.
Yeah.
It was always a kid. Like, I remember it would always be a kid, because he'd also do longer form ones. He had a series called The Gizmo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which was, what was it?
It was a little gizmo.
It was a little gizmo that
had a kind of mind of its own.
It did a bunch of shit and nobody really knew what it did.
Yeah.
So every kid would find it in each book, and the only constant was the gizmo always looks the same.
And sometimes it inflates and gets too heavy and then sinks a canoe.
Yeah, it kind of like fucked their shit up.
But it would start out good. It would be like a kid being bullied and he'd find the gizmo, and then the gizmo fucking, you know, chops the kid's head off.
Yeah, dacks him.
Yeah,
it dacked him every time.
It was always dacked him. Yeah. So it would be.
For our American listeners, that's pulling your pants down.
The act of having one's pants pulled down by a second party.
Yes.
It would start really good. It would kind of help them, and then it would kind of. It's like, oh no, now my dad's been dacked. I didn't want this.
By the way, the other day, because you had your 30th birthday recently, Ben.
Yeah.
And a notification came up in my phone reminding me to dack you at your 30th. And I years ago, and I don't remember the context, I decided that I was going to dack you there because you did something.
Yeah.
And
I probably said, like, no one's ever going to embarrass me at anything important. And you're like, that's it.
I didn't dack you because you didn't end up really having a 30th.
No, I just went out for dinner with my family and then had drinks at Catfish, I think.
Fuck. Well, I've got another one for dacking you at your 31st now.
Oh, but anyway, so what led us onto that?
Paul Jennings and Morris Gleitzman, they did one called Wicked.
I really liked Wicked, yeah.
And so I met Paul Jennings in a shopping center once. Mm. He was doing a book signing.
Oh, cool.
And I walked up to him and I was like, hey, man, what's up? He's like, yeah. But no, I like got him to sign the book and I told him that I wanted to be a writer one day. And he's like, oh, that's good, kid. Maybe we can work together one day.
Oh.
And I was like, no, I want to do it on my own.
Morris Gleitzman, he was the other titan of children's young adult literature.
He, in my opinion, was the real pretender to the Paul Jennings throne.
I completely agree. And
but
I
then
think
they did,
that
so
he,
Wicked
he
was a series
Wicked.
That they did together.
Yeah.
Where it was
this
a
was
book.
Like the Avengers, the original.
Yeah, this
like,
was huge.
Yeah.
This would a new one would
well,
come out.
This is
out
like of, more like if Batman and Captain America fought or something.
Yeah.
These
yeah.
were the Marvel and DC of them.
Yeah, so he so basically they were writing a book together where I think it was like they
chapter
they
for chapter? I
chapter
think?
For chapter or book for book or something.
Yeah.
I think it was chapter for chapter and there was a brother and a sister and each of them did one as like I think Morris Gleitzman was the sister and Paul Jennings was the brother.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it went for like six books that came out once a month.
Yeah.
I missed that shit of
it like, felt like it kind of fell apart. I remember getting halfway through and being like, oh boy.
Yeah.
Maybe. Because those books that used to come out regularly, like Animorphs as well.
Yeah.
Oh,
I feel
yeah.
like that shit, I mean, I wouldn't know because I'm not really in the market anymore.
Yeah.
I'm spoken for as far as reading goes.
Wait, you fuck Morris Gleitzman?
Yeah, me and him, we've got a little gizmo that we... the that sort of thing of a book coming out every month and you get the new one. That was great and a really good
way
of...
I remember a new I remember a new Paul Jennings book being a big event.
Yeah.
I remember a new Where's Wally book being a huge event.
Oh yeah. Goosebumps.
Really?
Yeah. I was a massive Goosebumps fan.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I believe does translate to the States.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, what led us on to talking about Round the Twist?
Persona 5 somehow.
Oh, Persona 5, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. So yeah. Anyway, you've played it. You've played a little bit of it.
Yeah. I really, really like it. So the anime, yeah, it's like, it starts with like a really long like anime cutscene. Like all the cutscenes are anime.
Sick.
They're all illustrated. They're all fucking cool. Like I really, really like this particular anime style. It's very like Death Note-ish, I guess.
Right.
Which
quick,
I really
quick
like.
Question for both of you. I've been considering this for about a year.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to do it, I just need to do it and go all in.
Yeah.
I'm considering...
What are you going to do?
At the ripe old age of 30, going right in on anime again.
Oh, mate. I did it about 4 or 5 years ago and it's great. Like, I don't love every single anime film,
I'm
but...
I'm prepared to, you know... I'm going to have to wear a fair bit of shit in my day-to-day life.
You're going to have to wear a fedora.
There's going to have to be some lifestyle adjustments.
Yes.
But that's why it's taken me a year. I think I think I'm ready to handle it. Like, I think maybe a year and a half ago, my sense of self and my self-esteem maybe wasn't up to the task.
Yeah.
My mental health wasn't quite there.
Yeah.
But I reckon I could weather it at this point.
Well, you've been to Japan twice now. So I think, like, you just got to admit that you're a weebo and just go for it.
Yeah.
But, like, I really like it. The anime in this specifically is cool. It's like...
Sorry, just hearing one of them like internet words that I hate in real life coming out of your mouth then really made me annoyed.
Anime?
That's the one.
Anime is very fun.
What happened to people calling it Japanimation? I used to like that.
Right. Oh, yeah.
That was kind of a... That was like, I guess, what was that, 15 years ago when it was like... It was a bit of cultural cringe. It was just like...
Yeah. Yeah. That was always when it was on like SBS late at night.
Yeah. It was a bit too... I think it was a bit too hard to swallow having to say the actual word for it in the other language.
I remember
people... I think we feel better about it if we kind of like have westernized it in some way.
Yeah, maybe.
Down to even just coming up with another term for it.
I remember thinking it was pronounced anime.
Yeah.
Of course you did. Yeah. That makes sense.
It looks like it said that
You're
way.
You're an ideite.
I remember there were a lot of manga books where they would release them here, but they would, because they read the other way around, so they would flip them. And then first time.
Handstand and.
Upside down.
Yeah.
With a funnel up my ass.
Like bats.
I remember the first one I got where the kind of the hook of it was, this is the right way around.
Right.
You're getting this the proper way. Feeling like such a fucking big boy. Like I get it more than anyone else reading these books.
I like this like this visual style. It's very like, how would I describe this? Like very 90s, like cool to the max. Like a lot of like, all the menus are very like cartoony, comic-y designed, like a lot of big loud letters and stuff. And it's, I'm not sure who... It's kind of aimed at, like, I guess, like, teenagers, probably in Japan. Like,
right.
That would make sense. It's all high school and stuff, so it's very, yeah.
I don't know. The teenage angle always seems to appeal to adults, particularly with Japanese things too. Like, there is so many Japanese things that focus on teenagers.
Yeah.
It's the majority of, in my experience.
Like, even every second anime is about a high school group. Yeah.
And it's always about, like, even if there is this big sort of conflict and this large, like, interdimensional fight that's going on, the focus of the story is generally on a bunch of teenagers being trained up.
Yeah.
I remember someone telling me ages ago that they had interviewed someone who's like a expert on like really studied anime and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And talking about kind of that, how it's always like kids and stuff.
Yeah.
And a big part of that is stems back to, I want to make sure I get this right. I'm definitely not going to, but basically it's sort of like, because of the bombings in Hiroshima, so many people lost their fathers.
Right.
So there was like a big generation of people that grew up kind of, you know, without kind of, you know, that sort of established
parental,
family model. And so that's why, you know, that's kind of where it began, and it's kind of seeped through generations of like this whole, it's always like kind of kids on their own against the world and kind of taking
that makes
it
sense.
On. And,
yeah.
We often have the same thing here as well. Holden Caulfield type characters are popular here as well.
Sure.
Where it's some like, it tends to be the difference here is like, I mean, Buffy, same thing. Like this is very much the same setup as Buffy where it's teenagers, but there's a supernatural thing they can't tell the adults about.
Totally. Yeah. It's almost identical in that you're like, you're a troubled teen who gets transferred to a new school and you got to fit in and there's demons and stuff and you're waking up or like your dreams are, you know, like demons and weird things and like you're trapped in a prison and then you're like back in the real world and things start to blur. It's very much, exactly that kind of Buffy thing.
It's all a metaphor, man.
So how much of the combat have you done in it? Because that's the one I gotta say, I don't love turn-based.
It's the least turn-based-y. Like it's very dynamic and visually interesting.
Okay.
It's not like, you know, like the Final Fantasy games or like Chrono Trigger or whatever. It's like a blue menu at the bottom where it's attack, item. Like it is the options kind of like spiral around your character on the screen and there's like button. What do you call them? Tooltips, kind of, I guess. So it's like attack, square. Like it's all very visual.
Okay.
It's like you have like a cold, not a cold open, like a in media res open where it's like you're in a mission. You're fighting through some stuff. You're running, you're hiding. It's teaching you all those tricks.
Yep.
And then it's like a flashback thing.
Oh, God, I hate flashbacks.
Which is not the best framing device. It's,
flashbacks and news stories are the two weakest things that you can do to tell a story.
Totally. It's
even worse.
I remember
one time when I learned this. It was years ago and I was
X-tree, dumb cunt on podcast.
Hello, it's me, Mr. News. Here's what's happening in the world today.
You'll love this even more, Nox. It's an interrogation room flashback.
Yeah, great.
It's, here's how I got here.
Record scratch, freeze frame.
So it's like, it's that, like you start with that, you like do a thing, you get arrested, and then it's like, tell us the story. You flashback, and then it's back to, that thing of like, oh, I was a troubled teen, and I transferred to a new school in a new city. And
how's all that stuff? How's like the social interaction stuff? That's
I've not done a lot of that yet. So there's quite
well,
a lot.
You'll get out there one day, buddy. Don't worry about it.
I just feel safe at home. So there's quite a long intro. Like quite long.
And for context, like this came out a couple of days ago.
Yep.
Again, you got like an hour yesterday after work before your festival show.
Yeah, probably I put in about 3 hours total.
Okay, sure.
So I've got into the proper bit. It's cool. Like the visuals are great. Like the actual in-game visuals are really, really cool. So the voice acting in this, the English voice acting is fine. Like it's very, it's kind of like a Studio Ghibli movie where it's like, it's very, I guess, over the top in a way, but in a way that I think fits this style.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Not in a Zelda way, not in a cringy like, oobity boobity, but it's like, very forthright kind of. And everyone's kind of mad at you anyway because you're like this fuck up kid. But I think that the controls are really cool and very smooth, and the menus and stuff, it's like it's all great, like that's all very polished. And the visual style, I guess, is like, it's awesome. Yeah. And the recreation of Tokyo is like perfect. It's yeah, dead cool. on. You get off like a train in the subway. It's like, fuck, they've nailed everything. The yellow lines that point to the street.
Cool. Yeah.
The back streets are like, you arrive and you're like, you know, just like in a, like a suburb of Tokyo. And like,
so is it kind of open world?
Kind of. You have like a mini map. Yeah, well, kind of, yeah. Like you're like, oh, you're here in this bit. And so you can see this bit in the mini map and you're like, oh, yep. there's like a shop here and a cafe here and a house here. And you kind of go around and then it's like, oh, but there's a subway here. So you go to the subway, you go to another part.
Okay, cool.
So it's open world in a typical RPG kind of way, I guess. Yep. Or like a slightly older RPG kind of way.
Right, okay.
Yeah. But I'm really, really liking it so far. Yeah, I cool. really, really like it. Yeah.
I got to go in. Yeah.
And that apparently like I played 3 hours. People are like, yeah, you kind of like get into the groove about 100 hours in.
Right.
Like apparently they're fucking massive games.
People are loving it. Reviews have been frothing on it.
Yeah.
It sounds great.
I don't know anything about the series. Like I know the log line, but yeah. I don't know.
You don't need to as well. Like they are all separate from each other.
Games have become more and more like that. Mm. I feel like a lot of franchises have just become, everything is its own kind of self-contained.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which there might be little bits and pieces here and there if you've played before.
Yeah.
Are you disappointed that you don't hate it so that then your review could be Persona 5 non grata?
No, I'm fine. Oh, I'm fine with it.
You look like a detective who'd solved a crime just then. Yeah, the most.
Yeah, whereas I committed the crime of bad comedy. Cool. Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Nox, are you going to – I'm planning to go in this week.
I definitely want to. I'm just
– Oh, yeah, you can't get it
I've
on
– it's only on the PS – there is a PS3 version.
Ew.
I think that's come out in the English regions.
Right.
But I'm not 100% sure about that. And I think – I'll have access to a PS4 soon.
Yeah.
Right. So, cool. Yeah. Cool. All right. So that's all the time we've got for this week, guys. Thanks for tuning in for another week. Hit us up on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. Let us know how you're enjoying Persona 5.
Yeah.
If you're playing it.
Yep. Also, like, I'm keen to go back into it. So if you've got, like, recommendations for which one to go in on.
Okay, cool.
Or where to find out more about it. Like, I'm keen to, like, really get into it because I'm loving
Persona,
it.
Persona, do you know the whole, like, lineage of that?
No, I don't. I don't know really anything
Persona
about it.
Persona is, like, a sub-series of Shin Megami Tensei, which is, like, a bigger series.
Yeah,
like,
okay, yeah,
that
yeah.
There's like several of those sub series in it.
Right.
There's like 60 of them or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, cool. Well, get me in and get Tommy in on some anime. Give him some recommendations.
Yeah, I'm going to go in hard on anime. Yeah. And so next week.
Meanwhile, I'm going to be going to the gym and shit. I'm going to get real cool because I need to balance this out.
Let me know a good place to get a fedora. We're going to be. So next week should be good. We'll have played a bit of Persona. We'll have played a bit of Ukulele.
Yes.
Hopefully. Live show coming up, tinyurl.com/filthycasualslive.
Yeah.
We all are in comedy festival shows, my solo stand-up show. Well,
we've already said this at the top.
Sure, but
go
worth
listen
reminding.
To the start of the episode again.
Rewind.
Also, 360fly.com, code PLANET to get 15% off anything from that store.
So comedyfestival.com.au for our tickets, our live show. Guys, thanks so much for listening. And as we say at the end here, of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Persona 5, more like Persona 5 non grata.
Oh, God.
Said the greatest comedian in the world.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.